Half-truths, whole drinks with Gilbert Bernardis. Five fake names I forgot were mine. That's the name of this episode. So, there's this problem with being very charming and moderately dishonest. Eventually, you forget what you've told someone you were. Name one, Velton Sharp. Let me get my accent old. Velton Sharp used it to get into a noble's masquerade ball. Said I was a wine critic. Ended up hosting the event after the real one passed out. I still get letters addressed to Velton. Great calligraphy. Better wine. One of my particular favorites is the wine made of juniper berries. From the Gilden Gold Estates. It has a fruity aroma with hints of pink and amber flower. However, there is a slight bitter aftertone. It isn't a bitter sweetness. It is as if it is bittersweet without the sweet. Catch my drift? Anyway, I said, so I was in this hall. I walked in. They pounded their stick and invited me in by name, Velton Sharp, they called out. And as I walked in, everyone turned and there was whispers and hushed tones. A bar off in the distance, an attendant was polishing some glasses of wine and reaching for some bottles. I sat at a table. They handed me a bottle of wine, asked if it was good enough. Well, I was there as a wine critic, so I said no. There were those that were rushing about. Trying to fix the wine, and there was this magic ore, and it's like, ah, there it is. There it is. So they bring this glass, as it was sparkling with this blue, and it was like a blue stars going around it, and this glass on the table. So this is got an essence from a realm, a distant realm that is also close. And the glass appears, open up tomes unto a distant place of beauty and of control. For this is in vintage hell that the Ivory Order. Surely this wine. Was it? Well, we'll talk about that in another podcast. I enjoyed the wine, partied and laughed, and they all liked me, and they were saying, hey, you should come back again. And I still can't remember exactly what it is I said. Like I said, I still get letters addressed to Velton. Great calligraphy. Better wine. Name two. Whisperjack. Oh, about the wine thing. Yeah, I found myself staying in their estate for a while. Yeah, there's an estate. All kinds of grapes and things growing there invited the bunch of friends. Well, those from the priesthood that I was telling you about earlier. Anyway, name two, Whisperjack. Underground card games. Used it to build mystery. Turns out there's a real Whisperjack. He's not amused or patient. Had an entire poker league. The Borgira Poker League. He played 5-card stud, 7-card stud, blackjack. Yes. Blackjack. Where they came up with the number? 22. I have not a clue. The thing is, if you get 22, you have to put in all your chips. And you gotta stay. And if you lose all your chips. They call that broken heart. But if you win, you get double portion, triple portion. Well, it's double portion, but other players have to chip in, and sometimes it ends up becoming triple portion. And that's the blackjack. I'm sure you played it. I just realized something. If you've got two twos, 22, and you have them facing each other, it looks like a heart. That's why everybody's trying to get to the heart. Okay, it's a romantic thing. See, card games are fun. Anyway, name three. Brother Loaf. Now don't ask. It involved a bread-based theology and a very convincing sermon about years as a metaphor for divine intervention. Or yeast. Yeast as a metaphor for divine intervention. I'm still banned from that brewery. Thing is, I'm gonna get into this. Yeast. Right, if you have too much of it, you get what's called a yeast infection. Now, yeast is utilized with the beer. Well, the beer is the final product. See, what happens is you get your wheat, your barley, your oats, or whatever you're crafting your beer with. However, the yeast is what brings out the flavors. And they have this old place. It's called Saint Labulus. And they sucked. The best brewery. The most amazing brewery. Cleric Dew. As in D-U. Now write this down. Because this is some good stuff. Pay attention. Cleric Dew House. And their picture is of a cat. Now what they do is they had this big barn. It looked like a house. Except inside that house, they'd have all these yeast, and they would open up the doors, and all the yeast would come out. And they would collect this yeast and mix it with their barley and the oats, and as they would brew it, it would feed on the sugars. And those sugars acted like yeses, the ingredients to craft and make this mixture. And that mixture became the final acceptable product. And everything must happen in moderation. Because a beer, an ale with too much yeast, is no good. It spoils the entire mixture. You must have awareness of when to put yeast and include yeast and when to exclude yeast, as in saying no to the yeast. And that brings about this harmonious balance. Now these things are put in jars. And they only release one group of these jars every single year. The closest that I have found to this, it's the cheaper version, is Ulfgar Ale. Well, it's an excellent version. It's what I'm saying, cheap. It's more affordable, more accessible. It's done in another type of quantity and quality. It's another brewer, basically. Another brewery. But the ale that comes from Cleric du Haus. Okay? With a little picture of the cattle. It's dark cat, but it seems like it. Well, anyway. That has amazing properties because it has the balance of the yeast and the exclusion of the yeast and the various types and all the various yeast that go in it. And it's only from that one particular region. That's what makes it so unique. Well, anyway, the ale that comes from there, there's only so many jars of this release. I think it's only like 100 or 80 or 90, 95. Yeah, it's 100 a year. And each of them have a cap on them. The jars. And those jars, the cap has got this unique signature, so everybody knows that it's only coming from that one place. And if you apply that concept to life, and give an adequate balance of yeses and nos, with life and the way you move forward and the way you go about things, and you're going to be as that perfect ale. And if you fail, there's always going to be a beer. Anyway, they all called me Brother Loaf. Because I heard a bard singing once, saying that warm beer and bread could raise the dead. I didn't know if this was necromancy or what, but I agreed with it. And I guess they took it as a theology, and the yeast and the ale was a metaphor for divine intervention. Still sing at that brewery. I'm still banned from that bakery. Well, anyway, name four. Aleran Duskthorn. Sounds elfish. Okay, the last time I said elfish, this high and mighty elf was like, "Excuse me, it's pronounced Elvin." And they looked at me as if I was some lowly commoner, which I'm not. Like I said, I'm a self-proclaimed connoisseur of sorts. Well-versed in fine women and strong drink. Perhaps they heard fine women as something else and strong drink is another thing, but anyway. Aleran Duskthorn. Sounds elfish, looks important. Got me through 6 border checkpoints. The only downside, someone actually named Aleran Duskthorn was on a most wanted list. Let's just say, I ran fast. I'm talking about running. I'm talking about running a few things, okay? And, maybe some of them agreed, maybe some of them didn't. But we got things done. And we did an excellent job. As excellent as the beer. Or perhaps more. Well, anyway. Name 5. Gilbert Bernardus. Yeah. That's the one I forgot sometimes, too. Not because it's fake. But because I've worn so many masks. It's hard to tell which parts were mine to begin with. Still, I think I like him, Gilbert. He means well. Usually. Half-truths, whole drinks, and a few names that might still owe you money. This is Gilbert Bernardus. Stay safe, and drink ale.